dollar bills, 'cause squirreling in my bed. I know they're stolen, but I don't be bad.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the 3 o'clock block, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. Today we have a very special guest. Her name is Jyoti Ghosh. She taught economics at the University of Nehru at New Delhi. She is currently a professor of economics at UMass Amherst. She is the executive secretary of International Development Economics Associates, a network of international economists that study developmental economics. She's co-authored or edited 19 books. I could go on and on. The CV outstrips any that I have seen in recent memory. And we were just talking, Jyoti, about what happened post-pandemic, that these incredibly large 4 to 5 major agribusiness companies in the United States basically kept prices artificially inflated. A word for it would be price gouging. Folks in the United States certainly saw that. People are still angry about this. But you are saying it wasn't just the large agribusinesses. And I'll make a note for everyone. If you think this is just a recent phenomena, I suggest that you check out the Archer Daniels Midland price fixing scheme, which was explicit and done internationally about 20, 25 years ago. So go check that out. It's happening again. But you were talking about this intersection between these agribusiness and the financial sector.
Yes. So really what happened is that agribusiness raises its prices, but also finance is entering the global commodity markets. And there's this thing called the futures market, where you basically predict a price in the future. So you can buy a futures at a higher price, which kind of makes you everyone think that you anticipate a higher price. What happened is that financial companies entered the commodity futures market in a big way and bought long and really pushed up the price. So when the futures price goes up, finally the spot market responds as well. So the current prices go up. And this went on for about 8 months until prices were double what they had been pre-war. But obviously there was no real change in demand or supply, so they would have to come down, and they did. So mind you, in that period, they're raking in the profits. Like, these big companies made the biggest profits in their history in that period. So did a lot of the companies that were doing this futures market stuff, the financial companies. Then prices come down again. So by the end of that period, at the end of 2023, you're back where you were before the start of the Ukraine war. Right. So some people said, fine, OK, prices went up for a while, but they've come down again. So why are you worried? You were worried because, of course, first of all, it did affect people while it happened. But in most of the world, when the prices came down globally, they didn't come down for the people in those countries. So, you know, the Food and Agriculture Organization, they have a food price index that came down by more than 12%. In that period, between September 2022 and September 2023. But prices in low and middle income countries continue to increase by 10%, 15%. In low income countries, the poorest countries of the world, they went up by 30%. Food prices in a period when global prices were falling. So why was that happening? Because their currencies were depreciating. And why were their currencies depreciating? Because they were losing all this capital that was coming back to the US. Interest rates are going up in the US, right. There's tightening in Europe. And so all this capital comes back. These countries, their currencies collapse. They experience depreciation of 20%, 30%, 40%. So even the imported food is much, much more expensive.
It's stunning. There were countries that, due to their currency collapsing, as well as this profiteering, this war and pandemic profiteering, this price gouging, they simply could not import enough food to feed their country. Again, folks, we could solve world hunger. It is a solvable problem. And yet world hunger has gotten worse. And we see that even here in the United States, one of the richest countries in the world, we still have millions of children that are food insecure every day. I wanted to give you an opportunity to also address Big Pharma, because we see some of these also incredibly pernicious patterns in this industry as well.
You know, Big Pharma is the other really big, I would say, if you had to identify a few villains globally, it's out there, I'm sorry to say. Yet it's always presented as the one that's giving us these wonderful scientific breakthroughs. And so we should all be grateful because they're giving us all these new medicines, and where would we be without them? So here's the thing. One of the big problems with Big Pharma is that it benefits from this weird thing called intellectual property rights. Mm-hmm. So what's that? That's basically the privatization of knowledge. It's basically saying I can take something and say it's my invention, or I can buy it up from somebody else and control it. And I will not give you access to the information that you need, the knowledge that you need to produce it yourself. So it's like creating a monopoly. And this is something that has become particularly widespread globally in the last 20 years after the WTO had an agreement on intellectual property. It's called TRIPS, the Trade-Related Intellectual Property Rights Agreement. What did that do? That allowed all these companies to hold on to their knowledge, and all across the world, they would actually prevent other companies from becoming competitors and reducing the price. So Big Pharma, we saw this so much during COVID. Now, remember that we actually did a great job in globally in terms of producing vaccines very quickly. This is the fastest ever that vaccines have been produced. So that's absolutely true. But why was it so fast? Because governments put huge subsidies to these companies. The US government alone gave $12 billion to just six companies. And in Europe as well, there were big subsidies given, mostly using public research that had already been done in universities and national science foundations, and adding a little bit, you know, that last mile?
Yes.
So all the R&D was covered. It was paid for by taxpayers, right? Yet, once you develop the vaccine, then the government helps you out by giving you very fast track clearance and approval because you need the vaccines, reduces the time you need to do the clinical tests, does all of that. And then it says you can price it at whatever you want, and you don't have to share this knowledge or technology.
It's really stunning. I'm going to cite from the most recent Oxfam report we discussed just a couple of days ago, quote, sharply increasing billionaire wealth and rising corporate and monopoly power are deeply connected. The profits of mega corporations are in turn used to benefit shareholders at the expense of workers and ordinary people. Folks, my very special guest this half hour has been Jyoti Ghosh, professor of economics at University of Massachusetts at Amherst, an expert in globalization and international economics. Thank you so much, Jyoti. We're going to make some of her work available in our show page for today. Do not miss it. When we come back, Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to join me talking about the double standards between men and women candidates. She's up for the 8th Congressional District here in Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.